Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. It has been such a good weekend. We have enjoyed ourselves, enjoyed meeting you guys. What a hospitable group of people. Corey, thank you for everything. We've just really had a great weekend, and I'm excited to be here with you this morning to share God's word. As Corey said, you know why I'm here. You know that our family's seeking the Lord on where he's leading us, and you know why you're here to see if this is where God's leading us. But really, let's just kind of forget about that for the moment, and let's just focus in on God's word. Amen? Amen. That's what we're here for, to honor God, to worship God, to see where he's leading. And I know that he's laid a message on my heart. And I kind of want to do two things with you this morning. I want to share my testimony. The committee's heard that a few times now, but I know a lot of you guys don't know much about me. And so I want to share kind of who I am and what God has done in my life and what God's done in our life as a family. And then I want to share with you Romans chapter 8. And so you can go ahead and turn there if you want to, and we'll walk through that later in the sermon. But first, I just want to share with you that I grew up in a Christian home. My dad has been a pastor for about 30 years, and so I grew up in a great family. And as I grew up in that family, I was hearing about Jesus every step of the way, hearing about Jesus and the good news that he came to die for our sins, and he was raised from the dead, and that if we place our faith in him, we will be forgiven, we'll be made new, we'll have eternal life. And so I heard that over and over and over. And when I was a young child, my older sister, Emily, she came up to me. I was brushing my teeth in the restroom, and she said, Jared, do you want to go to heaven? And what do you think I said? We got to have some interaction here. What do you think I said? All right, yes. I said, yeah, of course. And so she took me over to my dad and said, Jared wants to go to heaven. And so my dad, being a good Baptist preacher, he walked me through how to receive Jesus. And he felt like I understood. And I prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into my life. And then a couple years later, I was baptized. But as I grew older, I began to hang out with some buddies that were not the best influence in the world. And I started to understand that I was a pretty nasty sinner. God started to convict my heart and show me that I had sin in my life, and that I needed to not use those words that I was using and think those thoughts that I was thinking. And God started to really make it clear to me that I was separated from him. That I probably didn't understand what happened when I was a younger child. And so from my eighth grade year through my sophomore year in high school, God convicted me every single night that if I died, that I probably was not going to go to heaven. He was laying it on my heart that I needed to give my life to him. And I was fighting that because I had a reputation. My family thought I was a Christian, a good Christian boy. A lot of the kids in my school thought I was a great Christian young man. But the reality was that I was fake and that I was living a double life and that I was separated from God because of my sin. And so I went to a church camp going into my junior year of high school, and it was there was a theme, and the theme was, we're here for a purpose. And David Nasser was the pastor, and he was preaching, and he shared that we're here for a purpose. And he hadn't said why we're here yet. He just kept saying, we're here for a purpose, we're here for a purpose. And something inside of me was saying, please tell me what that purpose is. Please tell me what that is. And one night, he asked the crowd, he said, why are we here? And he let people shout out answers. There's about 1,500 students in the crowd. People are shouting out answers. And finally, someone yelled from the balcony in the far left, to glorify God. And that hit me. That hit me. That made me realize that I was just trying to go to heaven. I wasn't really interested in a relationship with God or pleasing God. And it finally hit me that I want to glorify God with my life. I don't want to walk in sin. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to give my life to God. And so I walked outside that night, and I called on Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to wash my sins away, to make me a new person. And I felt Jesus come in and just knew that there was a difference in my life from that point on, that was my spiritual birth. That was a new beginning for me. And so at that moment, I started to serve the Lord, started to have a life change going on. And so that is where my relationship with Jesus truly began. It wasn't when I was a little kid, when I prayed with my sister and my dad. It was right there, 15 years old. And then about a year later, I was at another church camp, and I heard a sermon on Isaiah chapter 6. And I think it was David was sharing with me. That's his Sunday school lesson this morning. But Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah says, God says to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. And I went in the back of the sanctuary of that church camp, and I got on my knees, and I said, God, whatever you want to do with me, wherever you want to send me, whatever door you open, here I am, send me. And I felt like he was drawing me to be in ministry. I felt like he was drawing me to be some sort of a pastor. So then I pursued going to East Texas Baptist University, where I just wanted to get a Christian education and prepare for ministry. I thought I was going to go play sports. That was my plan. I love sports. And so anybody in here who's got that background, I think we can connect a little bit in that. I played football, basketball, and baseball. I know you can tell I'm a football player, right? I look like just really, yeah. But I played sports and it had a lot of fun doing that. But the Lord changed my heart. He told me that I was putting sports in front of God. And he made that very clear to me. And so he had one of my friends tell me about a church right down the road from the college. And he said, hey, they're looking for a youth pastor. And they were a small church, had about 5 or 6 students. And they were willing to hire me as an 18-year-old freshman in college to get some experience doing youth ministry. And that was just such a blessing. And God confirmed in my heart that that is what I'm called to do, to work with youth. And so I met my wife, Sally, here at ETBU my freshman year. We got married our sophomore year, and we've been serving together for about 9 years. And so it's been a lot of fun. We've seen the Lord do a lot of great things. And we are excited about whatever is next, whatever the Lord has to do in our lives. We're content serving wherever God has us. And so we're just praying for his will, and we're excited to see what happens next. You turn to Romans 8, right? Everybody say Romans 8? All right, I just like to make sure you're with me, all right? And so everybody's there. Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans 8. We're going to be in verses 31 through 39 this morning. And I have a confession to make. I wasn't very nervous. But then yesterday I was talking to Corey and I said, yeah, you know, one of my favorite speakers and authors is Matt Chandler. And Matt Chandler is a great speaker. And Corey was telling me, oh yeah, he taught a Bible study at Hardin Simmons, and he spent an entire semester on Romans 8. And I thought, oh, I'm preaching on that, and you've had an entire semester study. I'm a little nervous about that. I'm just joking. And so he's going to be critiquing, but the rest of us, we're going to go in this study today and see what the Lord has to say. But I'm excited about this. I've taught this passage. I love the book of Romans. If you've read the book of Romans, then your life's been changed. The book of Romans is so rich. Paul wrote this book, wrote this letter to the Christians in Rome, and he wrote it to give a summary of Christianity. And so if you are searching or you're trying to figure out what Christianity is about, the book of Romans gives a great summary of what Christianity is. In chapters 1 through 3, Paul shares that we are all sinners. Every single one of us, we have sinned. And so I know that I would put both my hands up and say, I am one of those. I am a sinner. And I think you would all agree with that you've made mistakes. We've done things wrong. And Paul just paints the picture in chapters 1 through 3 that Jews and Gentiles and every single person that's ever lived has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And that's our problem. That's our issue that we all deal with. But in chapters 4 and 5, Paul makes it clear that we can go from being sinners that are dead in our sins to being made alive in Christ through faith in Jesus. Not by earning his favor, not by doing a lot of good works, but by faith alone. We turn to God from our sin and put our faith in Jesus, and he makes us new people. And then in chapter 6, he shares that once we've made that decision to trust in Christ, that we have new life in Christ. And then in chapter 7, it gets to where a lot of us are today. Chapter 7 is all about the struggle. Anybody experienced the struggle in the Christian life? You have this desire still within you to sin. You still struggle with your sinful nature. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And so we have this struggle in the Christian life where we are new people. Our position has changed from spiritual death to spiritual life. But now we struggle day in and day out to die to the sinful nature and to live this new way of life. And then we get to chapter 8. And he gives us the answer for that struggle. And the answer is the Holy Spirit. That when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you, makes you able, gives you the strength, gives you the victory, the capability of overcoming sin. And that's where we come to in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'm going to read verses 31 and 32. And just because I'm a youth pastor, I like to make sure you're listening. So if you're with me, say, I'm with you, man.
I'm with you.
All right, here we go. Verses 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? I don't know about you, but when I read that, I just feel good. When I read that, I just feel like, man, I've had things against me in my life before. I've had struggles, I've had people, I've had things go wrong. But if God is for us, who can be against us? What a great truth. That's my first major point I want to share with you this morning, that God is for you. Not just the person beside you in the pew, but God is for you. God loves you and cares about you individually. He likes you. He doesn't just like the future version of you that's going to be more holy. He likes you right now. God is for you. He loves you and he's for you. And how do we know that? How do we know he is for us? Let's look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How do we know he is for us? Well, verse 32 tells us, because he spared his son, Jesus. We know ultimately he is for us. Maybe you've had past experiences where you felt like, why did this happen to me? Why would God allow this to happen? And you feel like God may not be for you. But the reality is that God is for you, and he proved it in sending his son, Jesus, to die for your sins. No matter what's happened in your life, God is for you. Because he sent Jesus to die in your place as the substitute to where you don't have to pay for your sins if you place your faith in him. I want to tell you two stories to illustrate this point that God is for you. I've watched a lot of people, but two people specifically I want to share with you today that I watched get this moment where they realized God was for them. In 2012 and 2013, I had the privilege of going to Tanzania in Africa. I had never been out of the country. I'd really only been just a couple states over. And so this was a whole new thing. I was terrified. I'm sure my wife was terrified for me to go to Africa. Pretty scary deal if you've never traveled like that. And so our church was taking a trip to Tanzania, and we had about 10 or so people joining up with about 40 other people with E3 Partners Ministry to go hut to hut and share the gospel. We would have a partner, and we would each have a translator, and we had a pastor leading us in a local community, and we'd just go to a mud hut. You've probably seen things like that on TV, or if you've been on the mission field, you've seen that. And a mud hut, and we would just walk up and say, hi, my name is Jared, and I'm from America, and I want to tell you a message that changed my life. And so that was what we were doing. And so we land in Tanzania, we fly in, and all these wonderful African guys greet us there. They're so excited we're there to share Jesus. And they're like, hey, we're glad you're here. Now we have a bus ride just not that far down the road. We're like, okay. So we get on this bus, a nice charter bus. 8 hours later, on dirt roads, we pull up to the church that we're going to be serving at, and we've been bumping all over the place, and we finally arrive, and we get there, and the next day, they partner us up, they send us out. I get on a bus, and we head out on these, we call them goat trails. You know, they're little roads with crazy bumps, and every once in a while, we would get stuck. And so that happened one time, and my driver said, we're stuck, let's all get out, push the van out. Okay, no big deal. So we're doing this. This happens 3, 4, 5 times. And I asked the driver, they spoke Swahili. I said, what's the Swahili word for push? And he said, Sukuma. I said, well, we're the Sukuma tribe, all right? And so we kept pushing our van out. So we were the Sukuma tribe for the rest of the time. We thought that was pretty funny, and we enjoyed ourselves. And so finally, we are near the Serengeti. Anybody heard of the Serengeti? What's in the Serengeti? Anybody? Lions and cheetahs and leopards and leopards, not lepers, but leopards and all sorts of animals. Zebras, right? Zebra country, right? And so there's all sorts of things in the Serengeti. And so we're right on the line of the Serengeti, and we get stuck for real. And our driver says, we're going to walk the rest of the way. And I said, okay. How far? He said, about 3 miles. Okay, let's do this thing. And so we gear up and we start walking, and the Serengeti is right there to our right, and we know animals could be there, and so we're risking our life for the Lord, and so we're walking, and these three guys pop out of what we call the bush. All right, they just kind of pop out, and they say, "Hey, do you need help?" And they're translating, and we say, "No, we're okay. We're going to keep walking." But the Lord kind of stirred in my heart. These guys live in the middle of nowhere, the middle of nowhere. They've probably never heard about Jesus. And so I tell my translator, hey, can we share with them? And he says, absolutely. And so I share the gospel with them and just walk them through that if you turn from your sin and you trust in Jesus, that you'll be forgiven and you can have everlasting life. And I share that with them. And it was really a crazy thing. They just it was amazing. They just dropped their knees, just in total reverence. They just dropped down. And they just pray to receive Jesus right there. Just instinctually had this amazing reverence before God. that they wanted to just be humbled in his presence and give their life to the Lord. It was an amazing moment. That was cool. So we're like, okay, well, we got to go now. So we start walking off, and he says, hey, wait a second. The older gentleman, it was an older man and two young guys, and the older gentleman says, wait a second. He says, I want to tell you a story. We said, okay. He says, right over there, I was mowing my grass, and he meant with a machete. He was just kind of cutting his grass. And he said, a few years ago, I was cutting my grass over there, and a water buffalo popped out. I said, right over there? Are we good? Are we safe? And so he says, right over there, water buffalo pops out, and he says he attacks me. And he gorged him in the stomach, and he pulls his shirt up and shows me a scar. He pulls his shirt down and shows me where the water buffalo walked all over him. His collarbone was all messed up. And he said, that water buffalo tore me up, and I was laying there knowing I was going to die. But for whatever reason, he just left me there. And I didn't die. And he said, I believe that God allowed me to survive so I could hear the message you just shared with me. He got that God was for him. He went through a tough, tough experience that we can't even imagine. He understood God was for him, and he gave his life to Christ. He was made a new creature, and I was like, this is the first guy I've shared Jesus with. Let's go. Let's go to the new village. Let's go hut to hut. I'm ready. This is going to be a great trip. And so he understood God is for him. And something I want to challenge you with this morning, have you had that moment? Have you had that moment where you've realized God is for you? He really wants to forgive you of your sins. He really wants to be in total control of your life. Have you had that moment? If you haven't, then at the end of the service, we're not there yet. I know you're ready, but I'm just kidding. At the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity to come down. It's called an invitation where we invite you to come down and call on the name of Jesus to just tell him, I admit to you that I've made mistakes. I'm getting real with you, God, and I'm sorry for my sin. And I believe that Jesus died, and I believe that he rose from the dead, and I want him to come and make me clean. I'm not going to earn my salvation. I'm not going to earn your favor. I want you to make me clean, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. If you've never had that moment, then today could be your day. You could be like what I call the water buffalo guy, where it clicks for you. And you say, you know what? I believe that God has led me to this point to be at First Baptist Grandview on this day when that new guy's preaching, and I want to give my life to Christ. This could be your day. And so if that's you, then at the end of the service, come down, and we'll, me and Corey will be down here, and anyone who wants to make that decision, we are here for that today. Let's read Romans 8, 33 and 34. You're still with me. Say, I'm with you, man. All right. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The second major point I want to share with you this morning is no one can condemn you. Who has the right to condemn us? God. That verse makes it clear. God could condemn us for our sins, but he doesn't want to. He wants to justify us. He wants to make us right. Jesus wants to intercede for us. He wants to stand there before the Father and say, hey, they're with me. I've paid for their sins. Their sins are covered. It's over. It's finished. They're with me. I'm not condemning them. They are my child. It's amazing. And so God doesn't want to condemn you. But a lot of us, I believe, go through life feeling condemned or feeling defeated. Maybe you view yourself through your parents' criticism that you experienced when you were a child. Or maybe you view yourself through your greatest failures. Maybe you walk in defeat here and there. And that may not be everyone in this room, but maybe some of you walk in defeat. You feel defeated. But the reality is that you're not defeated in Christ. You are no longer defeated. You are no longer condemned. You are welcomed. You are accepted in the arms of God. We sang, now I belong to Jesus. You belong to him. You're not condemned anymore. Let me tell you a little statistic. It's gonna blow your mind. All right, you ready? Everybody ready? All right. 10 times out of 10 times that you read junk mail, it's a waste of your time. Did you catch that? All right. 10 times out of 10 times that you read junk mail, it's a waste of your time. And the same goes for every time that you listen to the little lie in your head that you're not good enough. Or that your biggest failure that you had when you were a teenager or last week, that defines you. Every time you listen to that lie, that defines you, that you're still condemned, that's like reading junk mail. Let's quit reading junk mail today. Amen? Let's quit reading junk mail. Let's start reading what God has to say about us. Because everybody just look at me for a moment. I want to tell you who you are. You're someone who's been made in the image of God. You're someone who is no longer dead in your sins if you've received Jesus. God finds you beautiful. You daughters of God, you are beautiful. You sons of God, you're handsome. You're amazing. God likes you. You're no longer condemned. And that is amazing, amazing thing that I think that a lot of us who kind of feel guilty about our past sins, let it go. Quit reading the junk mail and read what God has to say about you. Let's look at our third point this morning in verses 35 through 39. Let's read that together. Everybody with me? Say, I'm with me. All right. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The third point I want to share with you this morning, because it makes a good Baptist sermon to have 3 points, right? I'm just joking. But the third point I want to share with you this morning is that nothing can separate you from the love of God. The first point was God is for you. The second point, that no one can condemn you. And the third point is nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I want to share with you about a few people I've watched go through hard things that they could have let separate them from the love of God. They could have chosen to have a perspective where they didn't feel the Lord or they didn't serve the Lord in the midst of trial, but they kept the course. And one is Candace Donaldson. This is a lady that passed away in the church we serve at right now. She passed away from cancer about 6 or 8 months ago. Precious, precious lady, about 45 years old. She got breast cancer about 4 or 5 years ago, and you would have never known by her attitude that she was struggling. She chose every day to serve the Lord. She was our youth girls' Sunday school teacher, and she didn't miss a Sunday until she was on hospice. She was serving the Lord faithfully because she knew that the love of Christ, that nothing could separate her from that. Not cancer, no sickness, no feelings of I can't get out of bed in the morning. She said, I know the love of Christ is right here, and I want to keep serving him. That was amazing testimony that I got to watch. I mean, really inspired me that no matter what I go through, the love of Christ is right there with me, and I should continue serving him with everything I have. Another, we experienced a tough loss, I guess, 2 months ago. One of our former students in Tatum, Texas, in East Texas, died in a car accident. Scott Evans, one of my amazing kids in my former group. And his dad is the head football coach in Tatum, Andy Evans, head football coach and athletic director. Great guy. His mom, Tammy Evans, is the one of the teachers at the elementary school. And we went to the funeral, and they stood before the entire community of Tatum, which is like Grandview, and they preached the gospel. They had just lost their son. So sickness and death, they can't separate you from the love of Christ. It's your perspective. They had this amazing perspective that even though we just lost our son, God is good. God is good. And we want to proclaim to this community that if you place your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. Tammy got on Facebook and shared the gospel every single day pretty much since Scott has passed away. And 3 of Scott's friends have given their life to the Lord since then. God had a plan. I don't understand why Scott died. I don't understand those things. But I understand that God works all things together for good and that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, not sickness, not death, not anything. Nothing means nothing. Sometimes I think that we're, in theory, we say, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, Pastor. That's a great point. But I don't feel that. But the reality is that you can choose to have that perspective that God is for you and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Everybody say, nothing means nothing. You agree with that? You feel that? Nothing means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. This morning, I do want to give an invitation. And the invitation is for, I expressed this earlier, but for those of you who have never had that moment where you've said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to challenge you to have the boldness to come down front. And I really think the reason we ask that sometimes is not for Baptist formality, but the reason we ask that it's a sign of humility to say, I'm willing to show a congregation of people that I don't have my act together, and that I want to come down and I want to call on Jesus to save me, and I want to be a part of an amazing group of believers to do life with. And so if you've never done that, the invitation's for you to come down. But there's also the second point, that no one can condemn you. Nothing can condemn you. No one can condemn you. And if you've been walking around in life reading junk mail, then during the invitation, you don't necessarily have to come down front, but these altars are open for you to pray, but to maybe make a commitment at your seat or at the altar that I'm going to quit reading the junk mail. I'm not going to walk around in defeat anymore. I'm not going to walk around being condemned. Romans 8:1, at the beginning of this chapter, says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you're no longer condemned. Quit reading the junk mail and read what this book has to say about you, because you're awesome. You're an amazing, amazing son or daughter of the true King. And then if you've been going through some tough stuff, and you've been allowing that tough stuff to separate you from the love of Christ, you've been allowing that to maybe keep you from serving God as hard as you were before, or if you've been just allowing it to affect your attitude. I just spent the last 10 to 12 weeks with our youth group walking through a book about our attitudes. Talk about conviction. Because everybody needs to change their attitudes, right? And so I've been going through that book. And as we've gone through that book, it's been huge for me just to remember that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. That we choose to have that perspective every day. And so as we come to a time of invitation, as we come and have that after I pray, I want to challenge you to spend time with the Lord. Because today is a special day for us in your church and for our family to see where the Lord leads. But really, the word of God has been preached. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to go out and just continue your day and go on like normal? Or are you going to let the word of God transform your life? And so let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, it is my privilege to be in your presence, because I know I could never come in on my own. But God, I know that by your amazing grace, by your amazing love, that we can approach you. And I pray this morning, if anyone here needs to give their life to Christ, or if anyone needs to make the decision they're going to quit reading the junk mail, or if anyone needs to change their perspective, that they're going to enjoy the love of Christ and not let anything separate them, I pray that people will respond to your message this morning. And I pray these things for your glory and honor. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe let's all stand to our feet, and we'll have a hymn of invitation, and respond however you want to respond this morning.